Well, hello there. It's Weekend Update. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I am Bill Knight. Happy Saturday in our studios, not in the park.
I like that. Saturday in the park. That would be a great record, wouldn't it?
Yeah, really. Somebody ought to write it and sing it.
I agree. Hey, my friend. Not a good time in the Middle East right now. They're ducking missiles, would you believe, in Israel. They haven't officially started the war yet, but
it's coming.
There were more than 50 of these things, missiles, fired over Israel yesterday. 50. They knocked down 40, which means 10 got through.
That's one got through.
Yeah.
There was one
video that I saw. It was the people in their backyard looking up at the sky. It looked like a fireworks display, and they were doing the same ooh and ah, except these were missiles. And it was for the grace of God these missiles weren't landing in their backyard, you know?
Would you be sitting there looking up and knowing that you're being attacked, just go, well, I may as well sit here and watch it, can't get away from it, or would you be trying to find a place to take cover? So you can get through it.
I think they are so used to living under the stress and the day-to-day attack from these people that they become numb to it. I do. I really do. I think. And by the way, Bill, I think that we're going to have over the weekend an escalation big time in the Middle East. I heard somebody say Israel is not going to sit around and wait for Iran to hurt them. No, at some point Israel is going to attack Iran.
Yeah, and they're going to be the bad guy. You know, if you know an attack is coming, do you wait for it or do you preempt it? I would preempt it.
Yeah, I would too. And I think that's what Israel is going to do. Of course, out of the Biden administration, a continuation of mixed signals. You know, one second they're trying to tell everybody that they're on the side of the Hamas and, you know, the Muslims in Gaza. And the next breath, they're warning Iran, you better not do anything because we're going to stand by Israel. So goodness knows where this administration stands on anything. I'll be honest with you. I don't think that I would trust them as far as being a strong ally if there is a Middle Eastern conflict. I mean, I don't know whether Biden is going. He's moving troops, by the way. He's moving cruisers and fleets of ships closer to the Middle East, but that doesn't mean he's going to use them. You know, it's one thing to flex your muscles and say, hey, I'm a tough guy. You better not do that to my friend. It's another thing to actually get in the middle of a fight to protect your friend. And I don't know whether Biden has that kind of courage. I doubt it, to be honest with you. If you look at his history, he is the consummate politician, and he's not a true leader by any stretch of the imagination. At least that's, you know, how I see him. If he were a leader, he wouldn't allow all this nonsense happening in our own country. By the way, Iran in threats over the past couple of days has said if the United States gets in the middle and attacks with Israel, we're going to attack the United States. Now, they haven't got missiles that would reach the United States.
No, but they got people inside the United States.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, you know, an attack is an attack. And if we have a ground war here, boy, that we've never fought a ground war in our own home country.
Well, with the exception of the Civil War.
Let's not count. In modern times, we haven't. And in yours and my time, or anybody that's listening, I would believe, has never seen us fighting on our own ground.
Right.
If you have, God bless you. You made it this long. What do you eat for breakfast is what I want to know, you know, for a long life.
Exactly. I think you're right, Bill. I think it takes a certain amount of backbone to endure a domestic war. And I don't know whether we have that. We're a very soft country right now. We are a very soft nation. We've had a cushy life. You have all of these people talking about all of these touchy-feely things about the world. And I think if all of a sudden you had violence on your front doorstep, I don't know whether a lot of young people or middle-aged people, for that matter, would know how to handle it. Do you?
No, I agree. I mean, the world's a bad place, sad place, kind of like that old song. But
I mean, there was a picture.
We wouldn't know what to do, huh?
There was a picture, Bill, down in Australia. This happened yesterday. In a beautiful shopping mall, very similar to any number of shopping malls right here in the United States. Some gentleman, he looked Middle Eastern. I don't mean to stereotype, but he had that look of a Middle Eastern man. Had a long. They won't tell you, by the way, in the reporting, because that's inappropriate nowadays. You can't label what the people are or look like. They won't even tell you the race, you know. They'll just say a man. As a matter of fact, if it's an illegal alien and he lives in the neighboring town, they'll say the name of the neighboring town, but not the fact that he's an illegal alien from another country. That's how the news media approaches things, he says. But this guy goes in with about an 18 to 24-inch, they said knife, but it looked like a sword, a short sword. And he, I believe he killed six people and wounded eight. And I guess one of the wounded was a small child. They showed video of him running through the mall with this blade. Mm. And he was just indiscriminately sticking people. And, you know, you say, for what purpose? Why was he doing this? What was his motive to attack innocent people just shopping? You know, it doesn't make sense to a normal person, but terror by itself is an abnormal act.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, we talk about guns and everything. They don't need guns. They can do knives. They could do bricks for all that matters. They can do anything they want to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, gun control, what are we going to do, knife control, brick control? How about a frying? You know, there's so many ways that they can.
One of the most difficult places to own a weapon in the world is Australia. They've literally removed private gun ownership from the agenda. It's gone. You can't have a gun. I don't even think hunters can have guns anymore. It's just they've become so woke.
We're getting close in the United States under Biden. They're putting up so many rules that. You know, it's gotten to a point to where even if you're a gun collector, you know, they got rules and laws against that. Mm. And I think there's a rule now that you cannot sell firearms for profit. Well, wait a minute. So I've got a 1888 gun or something like that. It's a collector item. You know, I might be able to shoot, but it's a collector's item. You know, you can't, you know, they're changing the rules on everything.
By the way, that knife-wielding lunatic in Australia was taken out by a female police officer with a, dare I say, gun. You know, she shot him. Can you imagine if people were allowed to have concealed carry? He might have been a little more thoughtful about where to attack because he might have been concerned about getting shot by a shopper, you know.
True. Now, you know, we just said things are getting tight in the United States. I will tell you this one fact. 29 states in the United States, you really don't need to have, I had some notes on it from...
A permit?
Yeah, you don't need a concealed carry. In a lot of places, you have open carry rules that allow you to throw it up on the dashboard, which, you know, the libs are you know, crazy over that. Number one, if I got a gun, that's for production, it's not going to be on the dashboard. And I do have a concealed carry.
Yeah, Bill, there's going to be a lot of people thinking twice about doing what that guy did in Australia, in Dallas or in Houston, because in Texas, you know, people walk around with sidearms. It's just part of their way of life.
Well, here it is. 29 states now allow open carry laws, no permit needed. New law on gun shows aimed at, which that passed, at making all firearms, you know, that you got to go through a background check and everything. I had a buddy that I worked with in radio, and one of the things he did was conventions where, you know, those gun shows, he did the gun shows. And there are some rules that, you know, I agree needed to be changed because, you could go in there and basically buy a gun, and it didn't have to go through the background check. And there are holes in the background checks, too, that they tout and everything. They just want to take away guns. But if there was something that you didn't want to go through absolutely positively, all you do is you meet the guy out in the parking lot by the truck. Apparently, it's no man's land between the truck and the convention center. What happens between in those spaces is nobody's business.
Really? So if you wanted to sell somebody a high-performance weapon...
That's where you do it.
That's where you... Wow, that's interesting.
Off the truck and in your trunk, and there you go. Now, that's an old law, but that was the way it is. And yeah, okay, you know, I would see where you'd want to crack down on that. But the lawful ownership of a gun, there is no reason to do that. That's, you know, it's one of our protections in the Constitution. Mm. And it's there for a reason, but they want to disarm America. And they have been... Over the years, slowly taking apart the Constitution, you know, I mean, it's getting close to tax time.
Yeah.
You know, before, the government had really no means to sit there and just go categorically go and say, you're going to pay this, and that's that.
Yeah.
But they can because of the 16th Amendment. It wasn't in the Constitution until they put it there. What was it, 1916, something like that? Or 1906, one of the two. It was a 1906. Yeah. So there you go.
You know, another thing, we mentioned a couple of days ago that the Congress had turned down a vote on FISA, the FISA warrantless spy program. Well, they went to the table for a second time yesterday, and the House passed a bill to renew FISA warrantless spy program by a vote of 273 to 147. 126 Republicans voted yes to snoop on Americans without meaningful limits. By the way, they did have that carve-out that I mentioned. You know that carve-out where congressmen were excluded from this surveillance? I mean, they can surveil Bill Knight and Jim Harrington and you, the listener, right? They can surveil us, but you can't surveil a congressman without... notifying the congressman that he's being surveilled.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
You got to love it. So, and by the way, Mike Johnson, the speaker, he voted for it. He voted for it. By the way,
why?
He was down in, he was down in Mar-a-Lago yesterday afternoon. I don't know if you know this. He went down and had a press conference with President Trump, and they were talking about voting and making the voting system much more secure, and I guess they're going to put a full court press on making the presidential election more secure. But I didn't hear them mention FISA. And, you know, Trump is against FISA. I think Trump figures he's going to get into office and he's going to go back there and close the door on FISA.
Well, that could be. And, you know, Mike kind of sat there and said, you know, sometimes we got to go along to get along to get to where we ultimately want to be. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's one of those, well, we'll throw it out there now and we'll yank it back later. We don't know the plan. We got to hope that the good guys are the good guys and they're not pulling the wool over our eyes and everybody, including Trump.
Bill, I don't understand. I guess there's some, technically FISA is something which could be used for the benefit of society. It's a way for them to monitor the bad guys. The problem is that they're going after good people with this tool also. They're going after average American citizens with FISA, and that's where it's wrong.
Well, are the Democrats going to use it before Trump gets in? They're going to use it against him. They're going to use it against you, use it against me. Are they going to use it against everybody they can to sit there and be done with it, you know, and just say,
well,
once and for all.
I tell my friends that anybody who's charged with monitoring my calls and my life is going to be bored senseless because there's not much to listen to. It's like, I mean, come on, what are you doing today? I got to listen to Harrington again. Oh, my God.
Well, by the way, if you're listening today, I hope you got the secret code book, right?
Yeah, really throw him a curveball, Bill. Yeah, that'll be good. They'll be looking for a secret code book.
You'll find it maybe someday.
Hey, I don't know that you guys heard about this. There was a a bank robbery. I believe it was in Ohio. I want to say Sandusky, Ohio. I want to play for you the audio from the report on this bank robbery. Listen carefully.
Yeah. A bank robbery in Ohio went bad after the robber's commands got lost in translation. It happened last Thursday in Sandusky, Ohio. Video from the bank shows a man who police say is a Venezuelan migrant sitting across from a teller, apparently unable to speak English. So he typed his demands into a translator app on his phone. The man flashed the messages reading, "Get the money, put it in the bag." But the workers were not convinced. The robber was forced to leave empty-handed. Police arrested him a short time later.
He was 20-year-old Zion Brito Gonzalez. He was arrested after he tried to rob the bank last week with a translator app. I mean, you see him walking up. He sits down in front of a teller, and at a desk. And he speaks into the phone and puts it down. And I guess he thought it was the proper translation, but it looked like they didn't take him very seriously.
Apparently, he didn't study his history. I mean, Bonnie and Clyde had a universal translator.
It was a 38.
It's a Tommy gun.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Aiming at you, and then you pull that,
They caught him a few blocks down the road. Put the money in the bag. I don't know how to say it in Spanish, otherwise I'd make a bit out of it. But anyway, I thought that was interesting. You got to give him an A for effort, though. You know, he was trying to use the tools of our times to rob a bank. It just didn't work out for the guy, you know?
Modern technology, it gets us all at some point in time.
It does indeed. Hey,
so the app didn't work.
No, it did not. Tucker Carlson was talking about the elections. He's a little concerned. I don't know that you heard about this. He's convinced that they rigged the elections in 2020 and 2016, tried to anyway. And he's absolutely convinced they're doing it right now. Listen.
A few years ago, we learned conclusively that, in fact, the FBI and the federal intel agencies, the dozen or more federal intel agencies we have for some reason, had been working secretly against Donald Trump's presidential campaign. Trump had whispered about this, then shouted about it, and was roundly denounced as a conspiracy nut, a lunatic. But in the end, he was vindicated. It was true. These agencies spied on Trump, and they leaked some of what they'd learned to the media, which used it against Trump. Then these agencies concocted false stories about Trump. They tried to crush Trump completely in 2016, and then for the entire course of his presidency. Then they did the same thing in 2020 during the presidential election, and they're doing it still. They're trying to put him in prison for the rest of his life. So if you take three steps back, what you have here is what we're seeing now. For the third time in three consecutive cycles, secretive federal agencies are trying to rig our presidential election. This is what the Democrats refer to as democracy, and they're trying to defend it. But of course, it's the opposite of democracy. It's in fact the end of democracy in any semblance of a constitutional republic we ever had. If you have a secret police force threatening people, spying on them, and working secretly the levers of political power, then you don't have a democracy. You have no control over really anything as a voter.
You know, I agree with him. And the thing that gets me is when you see Mike Johnson and President Trump out there yesterday in Mar-a-Lago talking about how they're going to make the elections safer and more secure, you hear them. They're talking specifically about people who don't have the right to vote, voting in the elections, okay? Illegals, people who aren't citizens. But they're not addressing the agencies that are trying to steal it, you know, the CIA.
Can they address them right now, or do you have to take it one step at a time? See, I don't know. There's so many pieces to this puzzle that, you know what the big picture needs to be, but, you know, I don't think all the pieces are on the table.
Well, would that be a good idea to be public with everything? I don't think that would be a smart move. Don't telegraph to your enemy what you're going
exactly
to do to bring them down. Yeah. With regard to what they're doing with the elections, I think that, you know, the fact that President Trump and Mike Johnson showing a camaraderie, you know, a united united stand is important. It says something to the other side. But, you know, if the intelligence agencies working to bring you down, along with the media. The media, you heard about public broadcasting, NPR. Mm-hmm. They interviewed 87 news editors. Now, by the way, I've never seen 87 news editors in any commercial operation in the world, and I've worked in a lot of radio, but they have 87 news editors at NPR, and not one of them was a Republican. Now, if that gives you an idea of where their head is at, you know.
Look up, I just mention it because I have a business interest up north, but if you look up NPR in Boston, you've got like three pages of reporters and stuff, and I'm going, any major news organization in the country doesn't have that all over. Even in its heyday when you had an affiliate in all 50 states, you don't have the amount of employees they got in one building in one city alone, and they're all Democrat. Everything is, Biden, Miss Wu, everything. And I'm like going,
by the way, Bill, they don't have, NPR does not have the ratings that justify it nationally. They have a following of like-minded, if dare I say, liberal people. But they don't have, if you look at the city-by-city ratings, you don't see the NPR station being in the top five stations in the major cities. You know, you see commercial stations.
Yeah, and you know what? Everyone cries, well, defund them. Yeah, you should defund them. There should be no government money to them because you know what? Yeah, they're nonprofit means they can't run commercials. The hell they can't. It's called a portion of this show brought to you by.
Yeah.
You have sponsorships, and you hear that. So they're getting government money, and they've got sponsorship money, which has a whole different set of rules. Religious broadcasters have done that, and usually the power output on those frequencies, the lower frequencies there for FM, are enormous. They cover, if you ever noticed, an NPR station goes further than your commercial FM station, mid-band or high-band. It just does.
Yeah.
And it might be the same power. It's just the way it propagates.
Well, 87 news editors is ridiculous, okay? And that's...
it's crazy.
I mean, you go to NBC, CBS, ABC, the traditional news networks, and I don't think you'll have 87 people working in the editing of the news.
Just the fact that they're all left... They're all lefties.
Yeah,
it means they do not have balanced news. And if they are in your public interest, and let's say that you are a centrist or leaning to the right, does that represent you, somebody that is a left liberal? No, it doesn't.
Well, what amazes me is that this story came out because one of the leftist, editors at NPR, he retired, and he went back to look at where he had been. And he didn't realize till after he was on the outside looking in how many of the people that he worked with were one-sided, which I find amazing. I think that's nonsense, if you ask me. I mean, if you work in a sea of like-minded people, you know about it. You know,
you do and you don't. I mean, we were in the broadcast industry. I still dabble in it. But there are a lot of lefties. Now, it used to be... Back in the 90s, I remember when there were a lot of righties, but they are. I was younger then, and a lot of them are retired or gone, and that's just the way
that goes.
A lot
of the older guys, Bill, a lot of the guys my age who were very successful air talent were conservative. Not all of them. Not all of them. There were some who were and still are to the left, but there were a lot of people that you would never believe were conservative. You know, the wackos, the wild disc jockeys, you meet them in person, and it's like they were incredibly conservative people, you know. I mean,
well, the left pushes that, too. We got a generation now that believes that they should have their student debt forgiven. There shouldn't be anything like student debt. These college professors that push liberalism should be paid any enormous salary they want. I should be able to go to that college and listen to that garbage, and my parents shouldn't, worry about it. And don't worry. Money just grows on trees. Well, we print it from a press, and we don't have anything to back it up.
That's how Biden thinks. I swear to God, he thinks that as long as they have the press, they've got enough money.
Well, my theory behind that is they are deliberately tanking the economy for a reason, And that is to, you know, and look, these politicians that are going along with it, they're getting the money back to them, backdoored, and they're taking it and buying investments in new digital technology, because at some point in time, they're going to go, well, the dollar has collapsed because of all the interest on it. We can't afford it, so we'll just quit printing the money. We're going to go digital.
I was reading an article yesterday about where we're going this summer. And
to hell in a handbasket.
They said our gas prices, you can expect them to go through the roof this summer. They also said that look for another pandemic to rear its ugly head towards the fall, would you believe? And we're getting primed for it right now. Of course, it will be staged. It will be intentional, because they don't want people to vote in person. They want them to be able to vote by mail, have an excuse for mail-in ballots, so again, they can manipulate them. But they are working desperately on the left right now to steal the election, and the people on the right better wake up. Because while they're fiddling, Rome is burning. Okay, so it's as simple as that. They're working right now on how to steal the election. And if they don't pay attention, if you don't figure it out and stop it now, you know what happens. We figured out after the 2020 election that it was stolen. A lot of us did. But by the time it's done, you can't unfix it. You can't go back and say, let's do a do-over. It was stolen because, well, in this country, once the election is done,
it's done.
It's a wrap.
Yeah, it is. The only thing we can do is go back and show proof to the lie, like the insurrection. Apparently, Nancy Pelosi's insurrection, National Guard whistleblowers testify they were ready to be deployed on January 6th.
But yeah.
Pentagon delayed orders. You know, so
can you believe that? The National Guard is now, it is almost time for the 2024 election, and only now do they start to spread the word. Yeah, we were ready. We had all of our troops together. We were just waiting on the word to come down from the Speaker of the House. She was supposed to let us know, and she just didn't do it.
But she had a meeting days before, and the meeting was about their little planned coup that they, you know, there was a coup.
Yeah,
there was an insurrection. But it's not what you were told that it was. And that right there is proof that there was an insurrection by Nancy Schumer and, well, the mayor. You know, Muriel Bowser was in on it, too.
Muriel Bowser, the mayor of Washington, D.C. Boy, well, she's done an awful job.
Turned down the Capitol. Yeah, they just sat there. They turned
down the
National Guard.
You know what Trump wants to do? When Trump gets into office, if he somehow figures out a way of getting in, he'll get the votes. I truly believe he'll win because he has the majority of the votes. I just don't know whether he's going to get the election because they will manipulate it. And I keep thinking in the back of my mind, even if you get all of the illegals not to be able to vote, even if you keep it just to people who can vote, you still are not addressing the real serious issue of computer internet fraud. Being able to manipulate the machines from a foreign country, which, if people will remember, a lot of people talked about that back in 2020. The Chinese were manipulating the elections back then, but I don't hear anybody addressing that.
Well, we're at a point in our history where damned if you do and damned if you don't. What do you mean by that, Bill? Well, what I'm saying is what everyone's thinking. There might be a civil war. Okay, if there's a civil war that shuts down any elections and the government stays in place, and to protect itself, it's justified, and we've got a bunch of crazy MAGA people out there, and we gotta squash them. If we don't, and everything goes forward, and then they did it again, well, too late to do anything. And if you do something again, they're in power, and they'll say, well, we've got to. The head of the snake is always going to protect itself.
You know, see any kind of insurrection and you see people with MAGA hats on, do not make the assumption right away that those are MAGA supporters. On January 6th, a lot of supposedly agents of the government went into rooms and changed their clothes into outfits that included MAGA hats and MAGA signage and went out and infiltrated the crowds on Capitol Hill. there was a lot of instigation by the other side during that, quote, insurrection, which it really wasn't. An insurrection, by the way, I love it. An insurrection in any other country would be, you know, the crowd had bats and sticks and rocks and just raised a lot of hell.
Storming the castle.
Yeah, they didn't storm the castle here. They tried to make it look that way, but when they were, when it all was said and done, with the exception of a few broken glass panes, which I think were done by the other side, for the most part, it was a pretty controlled environment. If those million or 2 million people out front decided to storm the castle, it would have been a different outcome, trust me.
You know, did you ever go to a Trump rally?
I never had. I saw a lot on TV, but no, I never went to one.
Okay, I've gone to them. And, you know, the one thing that I didn't see in all those rallies before the election?
No.
MAGA hats. Yeah, they existed then, but the crowd that was there supporting him were not wearing MAGA hats. They might have a flag. They might have a, you know, one of those Trump shirts where he's on a motorcycle or something like that. You know, the marketing stuff, but not the MAGA hat. Like, it's a uniform, but you did see that at the so-called insurrection because, you know, I'm here to tell you that the hat could have been out then. It might have been out then. But I think if you went back and looked at who bought those things, you might find a different story, you know, or they printed them themselves because it's not hard to duplicate.
All is not as it appears. You know, if you look at something and on the surface it appears to be a certain way, think it through because there are a lot of people trying to manipulate how you feel about a lot of things. There, you see on shows like The View and other things, talking about, oh, the terrible insurrection on January 6th. You see on CNN, you see the anchors saying things like, well, wouldn't you agree that it was a planned insurrection on January 6th where there was a threat on our government? I mean, you hear the anchors saying this to this day, and that's because they have an agenda. The anchors have an agenda. They're part of a group of people in the media who want to sell you on something that did not happen. I remind you of this, and I'll keep this short. When they talk about the Trump voters causing an insurrection at the Capitol, you have to remind yourself that 25 minutes before you saw glass being broken on the Capitol. You know, the speech with President Trump, which was 25 minutes away, was still going on. The Trump supporters were still watching President Trump. They weren't over at the Capitol, but yet they're trying to tell you that the Trump supporters turned around and stormed the castle and caused the problem, and it wasn't them.
Glass breaks in, not out. The big 20-ton door that they just ripped open, it's 20 tons.
I know.
It is mechanical. It has to be opened electronically.
From the inside, right, Bill?
Yeah, it's got to be opened from the inside with a hydraulic motor that pushes it open.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, you tell me that 10, 20, 100 people, 1,000 people can go to a ship and pull open the cargo door on the side, which is sealed watertight when it's out at sea, and it's tons and tons of steel. This door is brass or something like that, and it's heavy as all get out, 20 tons. It's an enormous amount. You cannot pull it open. You could get a band of 20 of your buddies and sit there, let's pull this thing open. Hey, there's not a way to grab onto it and then yank it if you could.
It is a specially balanced door.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be just right. If it's out of alignment, it doesn't work properly.
So the door had to be opened from the inside by somebody, an operative, inside. And that wasn't a MAGA operative. It was their guards because they wanted to stage. And they waved them in.
We forget the video of the Capitol guards standing almost like they were, at attention as the people were walking by them. They weren't they weren't locking arms and trying to keep them out.
It was a trap. It was a setup.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it was. Come on in, mice. Come on in. March single file.
They were walking. And
Jesus
and
free.
The people came in and they stayed within guard lines. You know those rope lines that they have up so that you stay in a certain path? The people were respective of those rope lines and didn't step out of, you know, out of position. They walked like they were on tour in the Capitol.
When you realize that you have been set up and herded into a trap, you will get your cackles up and you aren't going to start, you know, wait, I got to get out of this. It's too late. They already got you in the trap. They're going to sit there and say whatever they want. But if you sit there and take it step by step, piece by piece, it was a lie. And then if you backstep a few days, as I like to say, back this bus up, go back 3 days with Pelosi, Schumer, Adam Blank, you know,
Schiff.
I'm not going to say, no, I know his name is Schiff, but I can think of another word for him. But you think about them all getting together. This was creative writing on their part. And, you know, I will, great script. You did a great job writing that one, but we know it is fake. And if those,
they had a little old lady there, 75 years old, who went in by accident, she said, because she was in a group of people that actually kind of herded her in. And she was inside the Capitol building for all of 3 minutes. And they charged her. This federal government of ours charged her, want to put her in prison if she's not there already. You know, this is a government gone off the rails.
They want to lock everybody up.
They do. If you are supportive of President Trump, then you are an enemy of the state. And by the way, this is just not the America that I grew up in. It's not the America that we were sold on. We're living right now in a totalitarian environment. We're living in an environment right now that is not American. You have this guy Biden. You know, people look at him and say, oh, he's a old guy, he gets confused. He's an evil SOB. To be doing what he's doing to America, he is an evil SOB. And by the way, his wife is a co-conspirator. She's pushing him right along. You know, if she cared about Joe and how people think of Joe, she would have had him not run for the presidency in 2020 because he was diminished then. And she knew that every time he got in front of a crowd, you know, he was embarrassing himself. By the way, Trump was on the Hugh Hewitt show this past week, and Hugh Hewitt talked about a debate. Listen.
You have said you'll debate him anywhere, anytime. Do you think he'll agree to any debate?
Anywhere, anytime.
Do you think he'll agree?
I don't think so, but I hope he does.
Do you think
what happened is, you know, that white stuff that they happened to find, which happened to be cocaine in the White House. I don't know. I think something's going on there because I watched his State of the Union and he was all jacked up at the beginning. By the end, he was fading fast. There's something going on there. I want a debate. And I think debates with him, at least, should be drug tested. I want
Mr. President, are you suggesting President Biden's using cocaine?
I don't know what he's using, but that was not. Hey, he was higher than a kite. And by the way, it was the worst address I've ever seen. State of the Nation. I'll tell you, State of the Union, that's not State of the Union because he doesn't represent us properly. That I can tell you. But he's obviously being helped some way because most of the time he looks like he's falling asleep. And all of a sudden he walked up there and did a poor job, but he was all jacked up.
Yeah, and you know, if you watch the State of the Union in the beginning, he was like really intense, and he faded as the speech progressed until he was tired again. You know,
if somebody's on cocaine, crystal meth, they start talking real fast, and you can't shut them up. You can't get a word in edgewise because they're talking real fast, and they're all optimistic. But as they start to run out of gas, things get a little slower, and things get a little slower, and they. Things get a little something.
Yeah. Well, you know, you saw him when that soldier of the Marine who was killed mm-hmm. in Afghanistan, when the father, raised his voice about, remember Afghanistan, remember the soldiers, Marines mm-hmm. in Afghanistan, and Biden was surprised by that, and he stopped, and it kind of threw him off, and he made, he tried to recover. He didn't recover. They have got to be giving him something to juice him now, to juice him up. I do think that President Trump is accurate in saying they will not do a debate. This will be a presidential cycle that will not have a debate between President Trump and Biden because Biden just will be humiliated.
Well, if somebody's in pain, somebody's not doing well, somebody's fighting cancer, but they're at a certain stage. He doesn't have cancer. I don't think he does, but he's got certain ailments, dementia. They can sit there and give him something to maybe bring up the cognitive ability of him. They can give him something to maybe make his motor skills go a little bit more. Like if somebody has got cancer and they're in their final years or things like that, and they're just slow, lethargic, and they're not coherent. They will give them high potency drugs to make them feel good and coherent to make their latter days easy. Well, they could do the same thing for him. If he doesn't have the real ability, they can make it appear. But we've also said that he is actually capable of thought. He's an evil man. Maybe it's a combination of the two. I don't know.
I think
there
it's a combination.
There's something wrong with the picture.
Bill, it's a combination of the two, in my opinion. I think he's got cognitive problems. Yeah, I think he's got some age issues. But I also think that fundamentally he's got a whole career of evil political wrongdoing that is almost like second nature now to him. It's like even in his old age, his default positions are not honest positions. He's a corrupt man, and he has no ethics. I mean, if you can sell your country's position down the tubes to your enemy for money, I think that tells the world really what kind of person you are. If you can sell to China access to the United States and to its political positions, well, I mean, how is that not treason?
Everything he's doing is green, 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 green. The grass has got to be green here, and no green gas or anything like which he should shut up. He's full of gas, but and hot air too, and so is Pelosi and the rest of them. They all need to shut up. But he's doing away with everything. We're not producing oil for the most part in the continental United States, nor offshore. Now they got an initiative to can the drilling in the Arctic North, up Alaska and everywhere else that we have drilling. We still have some oil production. He wants to stop that. He wants to, in just 4 short years, ban all fluorescent bulbs where we go. Now, I use LEDs, and you do save money theoretically with LEDs, but guess what? I can tell you right now, you're not going to save money from your power bill with going to LEDs and the thing that they're talking about, because the power companies, that's a whole different thing that's going on there. I also
heard that they're tougher on your eyes. LED lights are tougher on your eyesight.
They can be. Yeah, look. Any artificial light is not necessarily
There's a subliminal flicker in them, apparently. I don't know.
Fluorescent lights do the same thing. They turn on and off 1,000 times. I do not know how LED lights work. I know they don't take a lot of voltage. They have more luminescent power. But the simple fact is,
We were told, for example, the windmills. Those power windmills were the answer.
More windmills.
Well, let me tell you what I read yesterday. Now they're finding after three and a half years, they have to go out to these windmills that we see all over the
world.
And they the blades. Yeah, they have to replace the blades, but they also have to go out and replace the generators on these. And they're huge. They take up a large portion of the actual apparatus, machine. And in order to do that, you have to get, I think they said, a 500,000-ton or whatever it is, crane, a massive crane, to go out there, and it has to be tall enough to reach the top of these towers. They then take the towers and drain them of all the oil. We don't realize the amount of oil that's in these towers. Gallon upon gallon of oil.
So where are we going to get the oil from, China?
I don't know, but
where are we going to get the LED lights from, China?
Well, but the thing is this: the oil, it takes oil, it takes diesel fuel for the crane, it takes all of these fossil fuels to make these windmills be green. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like it's ludicrous.
Yeah, you know, and we don't have solar down. We don't have, and actually, the pollutants caused by solar and by the windmills is just as high, if not more high, and gives you more, you know, garbage afterwards. You know, I guess there's more refuse from it. So it is not what they purport it to be, but yet here we are running down that path. Now, Joe has done this before with the electric car thing. He got a bunch of government money. I think it was back, it might have been while he was vice president, but it was back in that time, and it was up in the Northeast where he did the company. And then it didn't work, and they just kind of pushed it away. Although, you know, got all the millions of dollars, he kept that.
How about that electric bus company that they put billions of dollars into, this electric bus company, and it just went belly up about a month ago? It went bankrupt because the buses didn't work. They wouldn't, you know, they would break down, and you couldn't go out and fix them on the road. So the buses became inoperative. They ended up running out of buses in the systems that used them. It was a big waste of money. The bus company went out of business. We lost billions of dollars, but you won't hear a word of that in the news because it goes against their green narrative.
Well, here's something interesting. I mean, we shut down our lead-acid battery plants. I don't think we produce them here in the United States anymore. If there is one, I think it's in Ohio. But we don't make batteries here. They make them in China.
That's a surprise.
You know, but the new batteries, the lithium batteries, the newer ones, they, for the most part, make them in China. Yes, we actually have the materials, lithium, here in the United States. Mm-hmm. There's some up in the Northeast. There's down in Arizona. It's all over the place. We have all the raw materials, but Joe has stopped us from producing it. You know, we're letting it be produced somewhere else, and we're buying it from them. Now, if you want to really drill it in the United States, you or I couldn't sit there and buy the land and use it. But we can sell it to a foreign country, and they can come in because then it's their land. They can do whatever the hell they want to on it.
Amazing.
And so they take our natural resources and shove it up our posterior orifice.
Yeah,
you
right.
Know?
Yeah,
I mean, posterior, thank you, yes. Joe.
Yes. Hey, before we run out of time, I got some good news for you. Former Vice President Mike Pence has a new gig. He's now working at Grove City College in Western Pennsylvania. It's a nice Christian school in Grove City, PA.
He's
a distinguished visiting fellow for the new Center for Faith and Public Life, and his duties will be teaching a course, writing, speaking, and participating in events. Mike Pence, they say, is the perfect choice for the center's first fellowship. I would think that the people at Grove City really haven't got a handle on how the American public, especially being a conservative Christian school, you would think they would understand just where Mike Pence stands in the hearts and minds of true conservatives. And it's not center stage. It's exit stage right. And so what do? Up at Grove City, they think they're being daring and inclusive. No, they're giving him a job. And I'm sure, by the way, like a lot of these jobs, it'll be multiple six figures. And when they say teaching a class, they literally mean he'll probably teach one class. You know, it's a way for
these. He'll come in and write a sentence and say, "Here you go, thank you." Talk about a posterior orifice. There he is. But hey, you know what? Though that's over in Western PA,
right?
You might, if he's in town visiting, you might even see him at the grocery store.
Oh, good! I'll be really happy to see him at the grocery store. Let's see. ICE in Boston. Have you heard about this? ICE in Boston, they released a 53-year-old Brazilian illegal alien who was indicted on 10 counts of aggravated child rape. So yeah. they arrested him. They brought him in and said,
let
him
go.
You're an illegal. Go ahead. You've only got 10 counts of child rape. I don't see why there would be any problem having
you
run around.
Well, they didn't say you're an illegal. They would have said, no, you're an undocumented. Get out of here. You know, there's no such thing in the Democratic vocabulary as illegal, because they're undocumented voters is what they really are. They're not even undocumented aliens. Hey, they're undocumented voters.
When I worked in Boston, I lived in Connecticut at the time, okay? So I can remember driving through a construction zone, and there was some state police who were directing traffic during a construction zone, and I missed a cue from one of the state police officers, and he came up to my car, and he whacked the car, and he said, they may drive like that in Connecticut, but we don't drive like that here in Massachusetts. You better watch out, or I'm going to bring you in. I'm telling you, friends, it was the infraction that I had done back in 1973 or 74 was incredibly minor, but they threatened an out-of-state driver with incarceration back then. Now you can be a rapist of children, 10 times convicted, and they'll let you go. That'll give you an idea of how things have changed in the past 50 years in the state, the glorious state of Massachusetts. Unbelievable. Anyway, you have anything else you want to add before we wrap this sucker up, Bill?
Let me take a look here quickly at my notes here. We got the Pence thing. We got the Biden oil thing. Let's see.
A large new homeless encampment in the city of Minneapolis is causing a lot of problems to the locals out there. And the locals in Minneapolis are begging the city to shut it down. Now, mind you, these are probably the same locals who back in 2020 were saying, defund the police. We want to defund the police. And when they burned that brand new precinct building down in Minneapolis, a lot of them probably were cheering and dancing. But now they're saying, oh, help us with this crowded homeless encampment. We got to get rid of them. There's a lot of crime. And of course, there's not enough people in the police department to handle the problem because, you know, the leftists who run that city fired a lot of policemen. Do we still have that documentary, Bill, online on our website? Can you still watch that documentary about Minneapolis that was up there?
No, it was taken down, or I took it down a while back, and I can't find it to put it back up.
The Fall of Minneapolis. If you can't find it on our website, do a Google, not a Google search. I would think you could go to DuckDuckGo. That way they can't trace you, okay? And do a search for The Fall of Minneapolis. It's a terrific documentary. We had a link at one time, but like Bill said, we can't leave stuff up there forever. And it's worth watching. It'll give you an idea of what they're dealing with in Minneapolis.
Yeah. I did see this. Catholics want to excommunicate Biden. Now, his team's defense is it's baseless. It's baseless.
Mm-hmm. It's baseless? Let's see. He believes that he's a good Catholic, but he breaks the tenets of the faith by being pro-abortion.
That's baseless, Jim.
How is that?
I don't know.
You know, if the religion says, we believe in X, Y, and Z, and in order to be one of us, you got to also believe in X, Y, and Z. And if you then turn around and say, well, I'm like you, but I don't believe in X, Y, or Z, then how can you say you're one of them? I'm just saying. You know, and by the way, there was a time in the faith where you didn't have to do much of anything to get excommunicated. Now it's like they work hard, desperately hard, the hierarchy. You have to blame the people like the Pope. The Pope, and I'm a Catholic, okay? The people like the Pope in Rome, this guy is an embarrassment. He's not a guy who is rock solid with the he thinks he is. He will tell you he is. You know, people say, well, isn't the Pope infallible? Doesn't what he say resonate as being the honest to God truth in your faith? No, there are certain things that he has, they call infallibility. And it's when it goes to the doctrine. It goes to the religion itself. When he says something about the faith specifically, then there is what they call infallibility. Yeah, whether you believe it or not, that's another thing, but that's what they believe. But when it comes to secular things, you know, his opinion on gay rights or something like that, or the environment, that is fallible. That is something which it doesn't fall under that cloak of infallibility, papal right. infallibility. So I just thought I'd pass that along to you. Anything else you want to add before
we... I was looking at this story, and, you know, sometimes I'm the Norm Crosby. Well, you know, he's from Massachusetts up
who,
there, but...
Who?
Sometimes I'm the Norm Crosby of the show here. You know, I take the English language and yes. accidentally butcher it, but that's okay.
Boy, are you dating yourself by saying Norm Crosby? I was
3 years old, but I loved him because he butchered everything deliberately.
Yeah.
UCLA Medical School... talk titled Depathologizing Resistance Glorifies Self-Emilization as a form of Revolutionary Suicide.
Let me explain this. They're saying at UCLA yeah. that lighting yourself on fire is a glorious way of committing suicide. It's an honorable way of... This is in the medical school at UCLA.
Yeah, well, these are from doctors, Raghda Azhar and Dr. Afaf Mustafa.
Well, let me guess.
Typical California names.
Yes, they're Native American, right? No.
Sure they are, yeah.
And they believe that lighting yourself on fire is a good thing. Wow.
Yeah, and they're teaching that now. It's a great thing at UCLA. Yeah, there's some money well spent. Well, you know, student loan there is forgiven.
Figure that out. When I was a kid, back in the days of the Vietnam War, every so often, like, a Buddhist monk would go outside and douse himself in gasoline and set himself on fire as a protest. And I would look at that and think, okay, you did it once, but what's your next act? Where do you go from here, pal? You know, you've set yourself on fire. I mean, okay. And everybody, they walk by you, and then you're dead, and then what?
I don't know. Hey, I got a question for you. They got all these buildings now that are becoming abandoned and empty in New York. I wonder why that's happening, Letitia.
Yeah, it's a ghost
town.
I'm
wondering if it was all just a planned purpose, you know, because she's going after businesses, big and small, and they're touting what a winning, you know, prosecutor she is. But she hasn't done anything legal. You know, the way that she's doing it's given New York a bad name. But I wonder if these buildings are going to be taken over as undocumented immigrant housing.
Oh my God! How to ruin buildings? I mean,
ruin buildings, but change, rescope the population to a Democrat haven.
We're going to have, they already have, a serious problem. I feel bad for New Yorkers. See, there are a lot of people don't realize how special that city is. Having worked in New York, they have five boroughs, and each borough is like a little city in and of itself. You know, I mean, it's really quite special. Staten Island, the Bronx, Brooklyn, Queens, Manhattan. These are special places, and they're all pushed together, and they make New York City. And they had character. That character has been destroyed by this purge, forced migration into the city. People who don't speak the language, people who are getting exceptions to the rule, meaning that they can do things to you that you can't do to them. For example, if you attack an illegal, you go to jail. But if the illegal attacks you, he goes home, you know? So there's an unfairness. So a lot of people are leaving New York. I mean, by the droves, you know? And we talk about these buildings being abandoned. Can you imagine the billions of dollars worth of real estate revenue that is being lost because of this stupid policy? Oh, by the way, speaking of New York, we should look forward to this coming week. The Trump trial begins in New York, the one with Merchan, you know, the one with this very, very partisan, very, very biased judge who, you have to be a bloody fool not to think that they haven't already decided that he's guilty and is going to jail, you have to know that he's going to be found guilty no matter what, because you just look at the questionnaire that Merchan wrote to for the prospective jurors, and you can see the bias is dripping off the pages, you know?
Yeah, you look at the trial and, you know, who their key witness is and what it's all built around, which has been debunked four times, not once, not thrice, but four times. And yet they, and that person wrote a book, and they, you know, the left likes to go, oh, if Trump could read, well, if that person knew how to, you know, conjure up a thought, because she's a porn star. Oh, she's an actress. She's got to memorize lines.
She's an actress.
Yeah, the lines that
Hollywood
she memorized.
Star. I've heard that used, the term Hollywood star Stormy Daniels. I've heard that used.
Yeah. Well, here's another thing at it. I mean, look, if you don't know what we're talking about, I would suggest you go back to yesterday's show. What was it, 592 or 3?
Three.
The weekend
593,
show?
593, yeah.
593. Yeah. We go over that whole thing of what it's all about, and it's very straightforward. So if you listen to that show, it's a powerful show, and boom.
It's going to be a tough week, folks. If you are a Trump supporter, you're going to be put through the ringer because you're going to see an obvious bias play out. You're going to see a man that you support and think to be an honorable person be attacked. And you know, when they find him guilty, prepare yourself, steel yourself to the fact that the media is going to say he's the first convicted felon to be running for the presidency. Should he be allowed to be president as a felon? You're going to see this out there. So,
and even if it gets overturned, the stigma will be there, and they'll use, what, the 14th Amendment?
Oh, they will try desperately. This whole thing is, it's not to put him in jail, it's to make him not be the president, period.
Yeah, and you know what? You think, well, you say our country's under attack, and it's not under attack. Well, let me ask you a question, Jim. What are the first three lines of the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible.
I got to stop you right there. One nation what?
Under God, indivisible.
Wait a minute. New York City Council opened their meeting by praising Allah.
Wait a second. So I'm supposed to say one nation under Allah?
Well, according to New York City Council that opened their meeting praising Allah as the supreme Lord of the world. Now, whether you're a Christian, a centrist, or even leaning a little bit left, you know, and I'm not putting down the belief in Allah, but that was not what our country was
built on. We were founded on, quote, Judeo-Christian beliefs.
Allah is, and the belief there is a total different country. Mm-hmm. Are we to believe, according to New York City, that we're changing flags now?
No, we're to believe. Because they do want to trample and burn it. No, the tolerant woke left will tell you that we believe in everything, man. Everything is equal, and it's okay. But let me tell you something, Bill. They don't look at history. I am a student of history. I love history, American history, and I can tell you as a fact, we were founded on the beliefs of Benjamin Franklin and John Adams and Thomas Jefferson. These were Judeo-Christian people.
You got to erase those guys from history. You got to.
Well, they want to do that. They want to pull down their statues, and they want to do that.
They're doing that.
Yep. Hey, buddy, we've done it again. Another weekend show. We always think, how are we going to talk for an hour? I mean, it's Saturday. What's happening on Saturday? We always do it. We always have a lot to talk about. And
there's always a lot to talk about. And I think we're just now getting wound up. We could probably go another hour.
I know. We're going to take a break tomorrow, of course, it being Sunday. Back again on Monday, and it's going to be a crazy week, I'm afraid. Like I said, if you're a Trump supporter, be strong. Be strong. Have each other's back. Give each other support, because it's going to look brutal out there. I really believe that. They're going to try to make him look like a guilty man. He's not. Anybody who's paying attention knows it's a lot of crap. He's already won the case against Stormy twice before. Yeah, they're going to try to make it sound like he's a womanizer and a guy who has been victimizing women. This is not going to be an easy week for Trump supporters. This is going to be tough. Anyway, my friend, anything else you want to add before we wrap this sucker up? Or do you just want to? Oh, by the way, if you want to contact us, the easy way, the easiest way to do it is go to our website, www.itsanotherday.com or www.jimandbill.com. And all of our contact stuff is there, our email addresses, our phone number. Feel free to contact us anytime you want. Okay, I'm done.
So, you're done?
I'm done.
Absolutely.
Let me check. Yeah, I really am. I'm done.
Okay. Well, I guess in that case, it's just time to say, hasta la vista, baby. We're out of here.
This is CRN America.